WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
It's Valentine's Day, and as usual, we're inundated with stories about strange but true romances. New York Magazine has a feature on unlikely New Yorkers who met cute, you know, the kind of goofy, serendipitous meeting that usually happens in movies. And Entertainment Weekly has a cover story on TV's most famous odd couples, like Morticia and Gomez Adams, and Mary Richards and Lou Grant. Commentator Maureen Corrigan agrees those couplings are odd, but says the courting rituals of academics are even more bizarre.
You'd think that people who've spent their lives studying the great masterpieces of romantic love, the sonnets of Shakespeare and Petrarch, the paintings of Titian, and the music of Mozart, you'd think that these people would be fluent in the language of love. But no, when it comes to passion, your average academic is about as eloquent as Flipper. I think one reason why we intellectuals are so tongue-tied when it comes to romance is that the longer you spend analyzing a condition, the more self-conscious you become about actually indulging in it yourself. I once knew of two historians who fell in love and decided to get married. The problem was that their years of research had enlightened them to the fact that marriage was an oppressive cultural institution. They couldn't just tie the knot without announcing their scholarly qualms. So they sent out wedding invitations on which they had superimposed clever anti-marriage quotations by social revolutionaries like Mary Wollstonecraft and Simone de Beauvoir. The whole invitation was so encrusted in irony, it was hard to tell whether these two people were about to get married or join the Symbionese Liberation Army. Lovelorn academics find themselves in a particularly unpleasant pickle on Valentine's Day. Everybody else can turn to simple Moon, Spoon, and June jingles to attract that special someone. But when you've spent years scanning heroic couplets and iambic hexameters, the bard of Hallmark just won't cut it. How to only connect, as E.M. Forster said. Well, this Valentine's Day, Lingua Franca, a cheeky journal of academic life, has offered a solution. It's running a special personals column where randy intellectuals can warble love lyrics in their own tortured J. Alfred Prufrock style. Here's an ad I bet will get a lot of responses. Brilliant, stormy historienne, tall, striking Italianate woman seeks deeply decent, stable, wealthy, stylish leftist. Gramsci, anyone? Can't you just hear Humphrey Bogart quoting Gramsci into Lauren Bacall's ear? The ruling class imposes its will upon the proletariat through cultural hegemony, sweetheart. Ooh, say that again. A divorced white female professor describes herself as warm, witty, and itty-bitty, and coyly asks, "Wanna be teacher's pet?" Teacher's pet, please. Toss out that dog-eared copy of Lolita, Doc. There's a Thoreau scholar who claims to be fluent in Greenspeak, Marxism, and colonial discourse, a married Dickensian publisher who's looking for a woman to share a chinwag, what would Little Dorrit say to that, and a post-patriarchal, single white male who seeks a woman willing to decode the cosmic buzz. An ad placed by a gay historian stranded in the upper Midwest is one of the ones that specifies, "No deconstructionists, please." Well, can you blame him? The only thing worse than being stranded in the upper Midwest is being stranded there with a deconstructionist. By the way, don't look for this special Valentine's Day issue of Lingua Franca on your local newsstand just yet. In true academic fashion, the publishers are running about a week late. But no matter. As foreign policy scholars would know, these ads read suspiciously like they're from the NATO school of romantic love. No action, talk only.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. Makes you yearn for roses are red, violets are blue, doesn't it?